The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just all of a sudden decided to change course a wee bit since we're a much smaller group. Before I start, I just want to ask a few questions, and maybe you guys can tell me some of the reasons you came here today. What do you want to get out of this session? Anybody want to volunteer? Yes. You think your kid's going to be smarter in math than you are? Okay. Hey. Anything else? You all loved math a whole lot. You're so excited about teaching it. That's wonderful. Okay. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit into this room to guide our conversations and discussions. Lord, I just pray for you to send the right words to me that the people here need to hear. The whole point is to bless them and encourage them in their homeschooling journey, Lord. So I thank you for this opportunity you gave me to serve you and to serve the others in them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The universe operates on a fixed and refined set of scientific and mathematical laws, suggesting that these laws came from somewhere, like an intelligent designer. I believe that math is part of God's creation. Math is a part of the beautiful created world that we live in. Fears of teaching math are quite simply a lie of the enemy. Every single mom in this room can teach math, and she can learn math herself to a comfortable and competent level. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Our brains are absolutely amazing machines. It's incredible how God awesomely designed our central processing units to keep our whole physical body running optimally. We need to take good care of our CPUs through diet, sleep, and exercise. I think that math and memorization are the two best ways to exercise our brains. And that's not just for children, it's for adults as well. So, why are so many moms fearful of teaching math? Likely, they didn't grow up with a strong foundation in math. My goal today is to help you get over that fear. I think that if you start homeschooling your kids from kindergarten onward, it should be less intimidating to teach math than if you pulled them from school at older grades. My biggest suggestion and encouragement to you is that you get right into student mode with your oldest child and learn math right along with them. I would also suggest that you don't say anything negative to your child about math. Don't say that, oh, you don't like math. Oh, it's always so hard for me. Because you are their mother and your mentor in all things. And their little radars are tuned into what's going on around them all the time. And they're gonna develop your attitudes towards math, whether it's positive or negative. And our attitudes are supposed to be the same as that of Jesus Christ. So, how can your daughters become wise mothers and keepers of the house if they don't now know how to create a family budget, how to follow a budget, how to track purchases or make economical purchases? It's so important for both you and your children to be comfortable with math and numbers. One day I was buying ponchos for my children at Please Mom, which you guys are probably all too young to remember. The Please Mom store is all gone out of business. The ponchos were regularly $34.99, and there was a sign that said 50% off. Well, $17.50 popped into my brain just like that. I didn't even have to think about it. And that's the goal for each of you and for your children. Maybe that's a challenge for you today. But I would like you to accept that challenge and work through math with your children so that you are way more comfortable with it. we all have limited funds in the bank and live on budget. So we need to know math so we can stick to our budget, not deplete our bank accounts or run up our credit cards or have to get debt. Because the Bible says, you know, it's not a good thing to have debt. We need to be comfortable enough with numbers to discuss mortgages at a bank and be able to negotiate the price of a car or any large purchase that we're making. We don't want anyone to be in a vulnerable state of weak math skills such that they're going to get taken advantage of or not be able to get into certain professions or certain schools because they don't have the math skills that they need. We need to be able to do math in the kitchen. People speak soul needs to be able to calculate the amount of fabric they need, and carpenters need to calculate how much wood they need. We need to know math to run the annual homeschool conference. So strong basic math skills are a life skill. We're not going to turn all your kids into mathematicians. That's certainly not the goal. But rather help you feel more comfortable instilling those basic math skills into your children at a really competent level. And what I mean by basic math skills would be addition, subtract, subtraction, fact, all the times tables, you know, up to 12 times 12, division tables, working with decimals, including working with money, percentages, estimation, mental arithmetic to the highest level that your children can possibly achieve, and comfort adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing fractions. My first two students were able to work through all levels of math, including high school, algebra 1 and 2, geometry and 3 courses. Child number 2 was in the story, so we'll be talking most about first of them. We ended the commonly accepted math schedule of topics at Algebra 1 or Grade 9 with my third child. It was far too painful for both of us to attempt to push farther with math. That doesn't mean we didn't do any math for the next 3.5 years. But, you know, we were doing stuff or attempting to do stuff like solving for x in trinomials, quadratic equations, y equals mx plus b. We used to sit on the couch, each with a little whiteboard, and have races to see who they get the question done first. The problem was that I always won. So that wasn't a very interesting activity to do this with my child. So we had the same, you know, this was a time when I started to question, well, why do we do all that advanced math in the first place? Was it just because for decades we blindly followed the prescribed list of advanced math topics that society says must be completed before the end of high school? How many of us really know how to use congruence to solve geometry problems today? How often do you use sine, cosine, and tangent in your daily lives, except in school, moms of course, in the teaching kids? When was the last time you needed to use the Pythagoras theorem to complete a task in your home? So the stark realization is that many of our children do not ever know to advance math topics. So we changed course, and for the rest of her education, we simply studied grades 7 and 8 months. So I just got a different curriculum each year, and we just looked through, and I just want to give each one of you permission to do the same. I'm not saying that you have to, but you're the master of your ship. You know your child the best, where they're at academically, what you feel they are capable of, and in what career direction they're going. So my first two were able to work independently by high school. I took math in university. One took CPA today. The other one did a music degree, but took math for fun, just because they liked it in university for us. Elective courses. So number 3 gained a lot of confidence in math that he really, really needed by doing, you know, fractions for years in a row, decimals, long division, long multiplication. So just did so much of that work. A big confidence piece came at work one day. She was a cashier at a grocery store. A customer asked her how much a particular item would cost if the sign said it was 30% off. You see, did her little mental arithmetic, and figured out the amount and told the customer. Customer service good. She praised her and she said that she didn't have the students they wouldn't have had to forgive me. So that was just really good for my daughter. That's a bad encouragement. So again, this is the goal for mom that you work through math, through the curriculum with your first child and learn it well. Go up to maybe grade 6, grade 7, grade 8. And then by then, they should be able to work independently and work through their math on their own. And then when you work with your second child and your third child and your fourth child, it'll be way easier and faster for you because you've learned the math again through yourself. So didn't really have any prep time for math. I had so many homeschool moms that asked about prep time. They don't have time to do this and that. And I'm like, I never did. I've never prepped lessons for my kids. So this wasn't homework. Some people hire tutors who work through math with their students, which is great if you have lots of money. If you do hire a tutor, take part in the lessons yourself. Don't just leave the tutoring your kid off in a room to work through the math, because it really is important that you learn the math and feel comfortable with it. Otherwise, you're going to have to hire a tutor for all the rest of your kids. Another option would be to have dad teach math. In many homeschool families, the dad is more confident with math, so that would be his responsibility. Family, friends, relatives, or somebody at your church. Maybe you have a retired school teacher at your church who would be thrilled to pitch in and help out occasionally with math. Homeschool co-op can be a place where kids sit in a room and do math together, or you could just invite, you know, 5 or 6 kids to your house and have the kids work through math together and help each other. Kids can learn a lot faster than we've done it a lot of other. So I'm going to get back to that day at the Please Mom store. The computer cash register was under the weather that day, so it wasn't able to just scan the barcode and have the price come up. The cashier actually had to figure out the proper price of the ponchos and see that value in the cash register. The problem was, this young woman, who must have been over 18, she didn't have a clue. The store was busy. Many customers were witnessing the situation. I was really embarrassed for this girl. She asked her co-worker what the price would be, but the co-worker was so busy, and she just passed over a calculator. But the girl didn't know how to use a calculator. Hopefully, the right half is $34.99. So her co-worker said, passed her a pencil and a piece of paper, and she said, well, she didn't know how to use a pencil, a piece of paper to calculate pencil $31.99. Very sad. One day I was in the grocery store with my 12-year-old, and I always taught my kids to estimate the total value of their purchases with the tax and hand over the cash and estimate how much they're going to get back and test your things. So one day my daughter noticed it. She should have got that 10 cents instead of 10 cents. I know not a big deal, but it's the principle that my child couldn't figure out why she got the wrong amount of money back. And the poor cashier, who again was at least 18 or 19 years old, she didn't know how to round off when it was fine. I was like shocked. So I tried to carefully and kindly explain rounding off to her, but she just broke into tears and ran off and got the manager. Another daughter of mine worked at a grocery store as a teen. Two daughters worked at a grocery store. One day, her 25-year-old co-worker had a problem when a customer bought groceries totaling $17 and change and paid with a $100 bill. So the cash register said to give him $83 in money and some change. But the girl didn't know how to count that $82. That's enough. Right? 20, 40, 60, 80, and it changes, right? That should be easy for any of us to do. Another daughter was in her university first year at a board game night, and another student there had to do some adding, and she's using her fingers to add 8 plus 7. at the high school graduate. Anyway, I could go on and on with real life examples of how young people can't do math these days. You know, we want our children to avoid ever being in these situations, and ourselves as well. So you don't have to be at the top of your game when it comes to math in order to successfully navigate your children's math education all the way to the end of high school. Again, we've talked about self-learning, and self-learning being a very important skill to build into your child's skills, and not just in math, but in any subject. Your child can read and read well. They can learn absolutely anything in life. Many distance courses for post-secondary personal interests and on-the-job training must be done independently. My third child, who never went beyond grade 9 in math, he actually needed a grade 12 math credit to get into Red River College. So I had to do a full credit course at summer school in Winnipeg School Division. He was a little bit nervous about doing it, but it turned out it was all self-studied in a public school, which I thought was interesting. But he breezed through that 5-week course, and I was going to put it in about 3 weeks. We went through several different math systems, actually 5, with my oldest child when she was in grade 1, trying to find something that we settled on. I don't want to do a review of math curriculum today, because there's so many, and there's so many more new ones that have come out. Nobody is an authority on math curriculum. It's a big job to find something that works, but never feel stuck with this curriculum. Never feel that your teaching is the problem. It can just be the curriculum doesn't work for you and doesn't work for your child. My first student, I was very blessed with her, because she's just a natural academic type, and she was a perfect guinea pig. The problem was, one program we used was really pretty, all color pages and drawings on it, and it was just a massive distraction for her, because she was very artistic. She'd be adding pictures to it and coloring here and coloring there, and she didn't care all about the numbers. Another math program we used, it jumped around too much from topic to topic, and I believe in math education. It did a little bit of measuring, a little bit of shape, a little bit of adding, a little bit of filling the time, and it kept hopping around, and you never really mastered anything. It's too much for little brains, right? So you need to find a math program that fits with your personal philosophy. We settled on Math UC because it had a good reputation, and it was plain black and white. No colors, no flowers, no other pictures, and no distractions. But that worked for her. I had a problem with teaching textbooks with my youngest student. When she watched the instructional videos, she often tuned out. She said it was, she got some new stuff already. But some of you may have children that tune out. But once I realized the problem, again, I thought it was me, something I was saying or doing, but to note. I think it's a skill that she's been honing for years. I thought she had got over that, but she told me she would tune out in church if she didn't like the sermon. She used to tune out when I read anything that she wasn't interested in. Science, social studies. She would just let her own thoughts percolate around in her brain or daydream about animals or something else that she liked. Once I got wise to this, I would read to her in much sort of stretches and ask a lot of questions to make sure that she was tuned in and paying attention. So again, if you have a tuner outer coach, it's absolutely no fault of mom, the teacher. It's just becoming aware that your child is, it's not that they're stupid, it's not that they're not smart enough, they just weren't interested. So it could involve a switch in your curriculum. Again, with this student, if you're familiar with teaching textbooks, it has like a computer programming thing that explains what to do, right? And it'll say now, and you just type in an answer, so you type in an answer, and it'll go on or whatever. It's kind of interactive, but you tuned out for that. But it also had a workbook, and it appeared to be better for her to actually use the workbook, the instructional manual, I thought we used to this one, that explained in writing how to do her math as opposed to watching the video. So, again, I mean, mostly teaching textbooks is encouraging math to be done online. But I just want to add a little comment. This morning I was at Megan Zelenka's program with the FLVA, and she was talking about if you're ever investigated by CPS or for whatever reason, they want evidence of what your child's doing, you need to be able to have evidence of the work that they've done, because they can, you could be charged with educational neglect. That was the phrase that she used. And she said, if you're using a lot of these online programs, there's no record of the work that your kid's done. You might get a printout at the end, a list of the tests and the mark they got, but that doesn't actually show what they did. So she said, from a legal perspective, it's better to have a workbook where your child is writing, in their writing, all the answers on a paper and stuff that away in a closet for a couple of years. There's evidence of what they had done, of what they had done. And I guess that would apply if you don't get art or anything else. Let's see. Sometimes the programs we've used can oversimplify a topic in math, and that can make it way longer and more cumbersome than it needs to be. I also noticed the opposite recently when I was watching a teaching video, introducing a new topic. It was going line by line to solve an equation, and then one line made a big jump. My daughter never even had a clue of how it got to that line. I contacted the company that produced the material and asked why they skipped the line, and the response was that they felt that part was particularly taught, so it was assumed that the student would already know it. Now, again, this is a time when a mom can think, oh, what have I done wrong? Well, you know, what's the problem here? But it wasn't a mom problem. It wasn't anything mom had done. It was like the way the curriculum was. So, I mean, this is fine for a math-savvy student, but for one who finds math more challenging, it's not fine, and they do need to see all those steps. So in this case, it wasn't necessarily to ditch the curriculum, but just know that curriculum isn't all perfect. There are mistakes in the answer book too, in some math programs. Working through algebra with my children showed me the importance of mastering the many math concepts. You know, when you're doing 3x squared plus 4x plus 2, and you're solving for x, your child needs to be real good at adding and subtracting, multiplying, dividing. And if they aren't really good at those skills, there's no point in going on through algebra 1. Even if they're in grade 9, don't just think, oh, they're in grade 9, we have to do algebra. If they have not mastered those skills and know them well, it's just an exercise in frustration to move them into algebra 1 when they just can't do the basics really, really, really well. So particularly if you're pulling your kids from public school, they haven't necessarily memorized all those basic facts. So you might have to go back a little bit and do some reviewing. Times tables and division tables can be mastered by plain memorization. Or you can just give them charts to keep using, and then over time they'll just automatically memorize them. You can use apps. You can use flashcards or piece of paper. You can make your own flashcards. You don't have to go and buy them. Younger siblings can also help out. Just get them to hold up a card. It can say 6 times 7 facing their sibling, and on the back it can say between 63, and so you know their numbers. And if their sibling gets the answer right, they can tell them whether it's right or whether it's wrong. So it's kind of fun to get kids working together in school. Math is also important before you get into chemistry and physics. Because in chemistry, the whole first unit in our chemistry book is math-based. So again, if your child hasn't mastered the basic math skills, they're just going to struggle through chemistry. And not everybody does physics, but chemistry is fairly commonly done. So mastering those basic math concepts, not just necessary for life, but to move on into any of the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. So the moral of this part of the story is not to put your full trust in your curriculum. No matter how much you paid for it, no matter how great everyone else says it is, no matter that it may make life easier for you, we just need to stay involved in the nitty-gritty of what our children are doing and make sure they understand it and understand it well. And know that we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. Put your full trust in God to help you get through the more challenging speaking times. Ask Him for wisdom and understanding, and He will graciously pour it upon you. Remember, He did give us the helper, the Holy Spirit, who cares about every aspect of your life and will help you if you ask for it. Only through God's grace that I got through 18 years I've been educating my children since 3 years old. Teaching textbooks is, you're probably all familiar with it. It's a computer bit, and you could answer everything on the computer, or they can do it in a workbook or an e-book. I guess they send an e-book and you can print it all out yourself now. One of the interesting things about it is that when you type your answer in the computer, it immediately tells you whether it's right or wrong. Rather than doing a whole set of 30 problems and marking it at the end, if it's corrected right away, your student can see what they did wrong right away and hopefully get through a wrong answer as they continue to work through that particular lesson. Now, you can still do that in paper. Sometimes we have preconceived ideas and ways that we've always done things. So if you're working through a worksheet with 30 problems, well, they can answer the first one. Look at the paper answer book for the answer before moving on. And if they got it right, great. If they got it wrong, it's important to correct it and try to understand what they did wrong before doing 30 other problems and half them doing it wrong. Just want to talk about calculators, whether you should use a calculator or not in your homeschool. Many people think that once their kids know how to do adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, great, give them a calculator, you know, why waste all that time continuing to use their brains when it's way faster to use a calculator? Well, I would say it's because once they start using that calculator, their brain gets lazy and they're going to forget all the adding, subtracting, multiplying and dividing that they had learned. Most of you are likely too young to remember the concept of speed dialing on our telephones. Well, we could simply program numbers into our phones and dial them with a single button. We thought it was great. We didn't have to, you know, look up phone numbers all the time. But what did happen is we would forget phone numbers. If you didn't have your phone with you, or you didn't have your little address book handy, and you needed someone's phone number, it's like, oh, it's not in my brain anymore. So we get lazy, our brains get lazy. So what do you think happens when we get calculators for children? Well, they forget how to do all their mental arithmetic, and they depend on the electronic device. So I know in public school, our kids are given calculators in grades 2 and 2 and 4. I did some tutoring with a neighbor's daughter last year, and grade 5, and she really didn't know her papers very well at all. It was a lot of effort. Her mom wanted me to, you know, buy a grade 5 workbook and work through that with her, but I said, you know what, if your daughter doesn't really know all her papers very well, it's just going to be a huge struggle to work through other topics. So we just spent a number of weeks looking through the basics. With my children, they had to do all their long division, multiplication, pencil and paper up until about grade 10, when they really needed, when you need to know the square root of 222. That's pretty challenging to do on pencil and paper. Or y to the f, different math concepts like that. Then, yes, a calculator is fine. You know, trigonometry, need a calculator for those sorts of functions. But for as long as you can, my recommendation is to keep calculator use out of your home school. Technology isn't always our friend. Kids can use the whiteboard, colored pencils. They can lay on the floor to do their long multiplication and division, or whatever other creative ways to do it. Mental arithmetic is another really important area that we spent a bit of time on. That's the skill of performing mathematical calculations in your head without using a calculator or any other external device. This involves doing basic arithmetic math calculations as quickly and efficiently as possible. Mental arithmetic and pencils are quite several benefits. It enhances your basic understanding of arithmetic, which is essential for grasping more advanced mathematical topics, such as elementary algebra. It trains perception speed, information processing, develops both brain hemispheres simultaneously, and it can even help adults view situations from a different perspective. So your memory is sharpened, and it sharpens the power of imagination. So the practice of mental arithmetic can just enable your kids to do all their math faster and more efficiently. And it could be practiced daily, just really no lesson prep. You could just give each child 5 questions a day for a week, and then move up to 10, 15, or 20 per day. And it only takes about 15 minutes to do it. So I just would have a notebook where I put the date and the child's name, and I wrote down each question that I asked them. And you don't give them 10 minutes to answer a question. You just give them a second to answer. And if they don't get it, you just move on. And if they haven't figured it out, then that's okay. And always ask them questions that are below, like well below their abilities, so they feel confident in doing it. So, for instance, a 10-year-old could start off by being asked 4 plus 9. Give them like 5 seconds to answer it on their paper. 15 minus 6, another 4 or 5 seconds. 5 times 5, 36 divided by 4, 28 plus 10. Really simple math that every 10-year-old should be able to do and learn. So this is great brain food, and it'll boost their confidence. And then the more you do it, the better they'll get at it. And have some miscellaneous items to go through here. If you've told your kids from school, don't just assume that they are functioning at that grade level and purchase materials for that grade. Several of the good math programs don't use grade numbers in their titles, which is a good thing. So you can do placement tests for your kids to figure out what level they would be at. So if you pull your kid out in grade 5 and the placement test says they're working at a grade 3 level, you know, they might feel bad if you're giving them grade 3 math, but if it's called alpha, beta, delta, gamma, or something like that. They don't really know what gamma means, so they aren't going to feel bad that you're doing that. It's also a good idea to go back a few years and work through the math, because it's easier for mom who to do the lower levels than to jump in right at grade 5 or 6 or 7 math, whatever you're thinking about. And your kids are smart. They're all good learners. They all have a good sound mind. And the easier, the lower the grade levels, they can get through 2 or 3 grade levels a year in many cases. Don't go deep on math curriculum, and almost never buy grocery store workbooks. You know, the ultra Canadian curriculum, they're not designed to be primary teaching tools. So it'll be very frustrating for a mom to try to feed those materials when that's totally not what they're designed for. Now, they're designed to supplement what has already been learned. So again, if you did do that, it's not an issue with the mom thinks that that's a problem. Homeschool materials usually have a multimedia approach to learning. This is the video, and we're in practice computer instruction is called. And there's usually complete written instructions. Perhaps watching the video along with your student is enough for you to learn. But if not, and you have the written instructions, then that can give a different perspective than watching the video. Feel free to watch that video or read the instructions a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time, if you need to, or feel with that learning a simple. And also, don't let your kids know if you're frustrated and trying to understand something. Take a deep breath and count to 10 exhale slowly and say something like, you don't feel that the explanation in this material is adequate enough and you want some time to do a little bit more research before you prevail. And then there's some things you can do, like phone a friend or email a friend. Please. Higher or further along in math levels than your children are, ask their husband if he can help with that. Ask a relative, a friend, or a neighbor. Perhaps a retired teacher at church. Post a query on the Matrix discussion group asking for help with a particular problem, or ask a mom at your support group. Some of the curriculum creators have their own user group on social media that you can join and ask their questions on. Khan Academy, that's K-H-A-N online, is a great resource for any subject level. And you can search math by topic or by level to find help in any area that you need. You can even contact the curriculum producer directly for assistance. My oldest came up with a creative way to figure out how to solve some complex math multiplex problems. He would pull out the teacher guide containing answers. He found a specific question that she was having trouble with, and she would work through it backwards from the last line to the first line. And that would seem to work out really well for help. You're probably all familiar with being able to find anything on YouTube that you need help with. And there's also apps available where you can just type in a problem and it will solve it. Or you can take a picture of it, of an algebraic problem, and it will give you an answer. It's amazing the help that's available out there, really. And not to mention AI or automated intelligence. I have a list of no curriculum needed math ideas for early years, kindergarten to grade 2, 3 maybe or so, or even younger than that. This was compiled by a homeschool mom in the course of math degrees. This helps you to learn that math is a part of everyday life and to look for opportunities to use math wherever you are or whatever you're doing. With a preschooler, you can just play songs for them that count. There's one food buckle my food, songs, rhymes, whatever. Play them often and sing them often. Count items with this switch. We've been one all the time. Cheerios, blueberries, Legos, trees, pears, socks, whatever's around you. Just count them. Count the plates in your dishwashers as you put them in or as you remove them. Count backwards. Count toys as you pick them up and put them away. You can do quantity recognition on your fingers so that when you put this up, your kid knows that's 3. They don't have to 1, 2, 3 count, but they just look at that and know that it's 3. And switching the count forward and backwards from 1 to 10 and up to 15, up to 20, helping them learn how to add a number, add 1 to any number. If we have 3 toy cars and grandma goes to another one, how many do we have? Teach them number recognition using flashcards, drawing numbers, painting numbers, tracing numbers in sand or rice or whatever. I have a whole list. I don't really feel like I want to read them all out, but if it's something that appeals to you, then you can just use it as a address and I can send it later. Skip counting is something I just want to talk about too. The skip counting would be, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, and so on, 4, 8, God's existence. Gift giving is an excellent tool to teach your children because it's a precursor to multiplication and division. So I would highly recommend that you introduce gift giving as early as you can when you see it. Matthew 3 used to have a gift giving CD, so I'll find those. Teach your songs to get on for each child. I didn't need to be gift giving. Yeah. So, if you follow all of those math teaching tips for very young children, then you don't need to worry about finding a lot of time to sit down and crack open math books every day, because you're just incorporating in the math or you sit down to eat while you're working in the kitchen. You know, you can pull your dishwasher door down and use that as a table for your kids to color on or to count things on while you're cooking meals. So I don't have any exciting conclusions to talk that week. This is more. My time's running low, and I want to save lots of time for questions if you have any. But most of what I've presented to you is from my own experience as a homeschool mom. I don't have any university degree or professional teaching credentials, but just a love for children and a strong desire to serve them or to live directly. And I just wanted you to know that you can do anything through him to strengthen you. And I just wish you joy and blessings in your math learning. So I'm here for a while if anybody has any questions. And if not, you're free to head over to the video. Thanks for coming. Just before you get out the door, I just want to, this is a little unconventional, but I just want to introduce Wally Doddrich to you, who's got some of them in the back corner. Wally is running as a candidate for the leadership of our provincial Conservative Party. So glad to see you for those hours. If you want to chat with him about politics, our second favorite topic.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.